invite you to take your Bibles, please, and let's go to 1 John as we continue a series of messages on Sunday morning through the book of 1 John, entitled From Darkness into Light. From Darkness into Light. 1 John chapter 1. Our scripture verses today are verses 3 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. I hope you have your Bible, that you'll turn there in God's book, God's textbook for us today. And I trust that you'll follow along as God speaks to our hearts. May God help us to hear His word today. Beginning in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have, and underscore this word, maybe mark it in your Bible, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Then He says, if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's a beautiful passage of Scripture. And He's talking throughout the book about fellowship, walking with God, walking in the will of God. Fellowship with God is proof that you got the real thing. People who say they got saved and they don't walk in fellowship with God, they don't come to church, they don't read the Bibles, they don't pray, they don't care much about being around God's people, they just have very little time for God. Something's wrong with that picture, isn't it? Because fellowship with the Father is part of the proof that we really got total salvation, real salvation, really born again. Now, the way that fellowship is made possible is by Jesus, or by God, because God is the light. That is a symbol of holiness. And as we walk in holiness, as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with each other, but more importantly, we have fellowship with God. Nothing should be more important to you than your fellowship with Almighty God. And the reason we're able to do that is because He is that light, as He mentions here. In the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, 23, the Bible is talking about the Lord there. And He says, the Lamb is the light of that city. You know what He says? He says, there'll be all these beautiful gates, and the gates of pearl, and the streets of gold, and all of these beautiful things that are there. But He said, there will be no need of the light there. Why? Because God is the light. His presence will be enough. His presence will be all the brightness and all the light that we need. But right now, not only is He going to light the lights of the New Jerusalem, but He wants to light our lives. He wants to be the light we're walking in, the holiness. He wants to show us how to walk and where to walk. And He does that in so many different ways. And so we look at first the message we've heard of Him. What is that message that we have heard of Him? He talks about that in verse 3 and then in verse 5. That which we have seen and have heard declare we unto you, so we can have fellowship. In verse 5, then this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. We have a message that we have to declare, the message that we've heard of Him. And what is that message? That is the message about the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to the Gospel of John very quickly, if you will. Keep your place in 1 John and go backward to John chapter 1. And let me just remind you of some verses here that are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 1. Listen to who he's talking about as we reiterate these things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we've already told you, are co-equal in the Trinity. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light of men. And watch what He says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Who was the light that shined in the lives of men? Jesus Christ. He's the light that we're talking about. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this light hath appeared unto all men. Jesus is the light. Do you know that I believe that every man innately knows that there's a supreme being, that there is a God? It reminds me of the atheist that said, I'm an atheist and I thank God I am. That's about the way it is, isn't it? I believe every man knows there's a God. It is something that is inborn in us to recognize and understand that. There is enough knowledge and light from Christ and from God to condemn everybody to hell that does not get saved. There's enough light. There's not enough light to save that person. Just knowing there's a God does not save anybody. That's not enough light, but there's enough light for all people, that all people are responsible to God, and if they don't get saved, they will die and go to hell. There are two strong witnesses about the existence of God. Number one is creation. The Bible tells us clearly that creation is a testimony to the fact that there is a God. Now, if you want to be so simple-minded as to believe that we're just an accident from the big boom and that some massive gas broke off from some other planet somewhere, and when it cooled off, we became a tadpole somewhere on a beach, and then we became a monkey, and then we became the Neanderthal man, and then we went on and progressed in evolution until we look like we do today. Not much better than the Neanderthal man. Except for you ladies, you look a lot better. But creation tells us there is a God. Look at the stars and the moon and the sun and all that exists. And you tell me that's just an accident? I've got an unabridged dictionary in my office that's that thick. And I want to tell these evolutionists and all these dimwits that somebody just one day threw a bunch of letters up in the air and they just fell into that unabridged dictionary with thousands of words and definitions. Just an accident. No, creation testifies that there is a supreme being who is intelligent, who made this world an intelligent world, and man was created in the image of God. That's why we're not high animals. We have a body, soul, and spirit. We are created in the very image of God. I don't have time to develop that truth, but we are. Not only is creation a testimony, but our conscience is a testimony. And the Bible talks about our conscience being the testimony, not our guide, but a testimony. It is something, there's a vacuum, there's an emptiness in everybody that they recognize and understand until they meet Jesus Christ. Something's missing. Something is missing. I know you see some hard-hearted people, and they have an atrophying of the heart. It gets hard like concrete, and they can say, I don't want to hear that junk. But I'm telling you, they had to throw off a lot of stuff to get where they got, because there's enough evidence in the conscience and creation. Two strong witnesses. Now, when we get saved, what happens? The light comes in. Who's the light? Jesus is that light. When you get saved, the light comes into our lives. And the Bible says that light is the light of men. I'm glad He desires to guide us. God wants to guide me, and God wants to guide you today. And what I mean is He wants to reveal to us right from wrong. putting it in a very simplistic way, God, through the light, through Christ, wants to reveal to us what is right and what is wrong. And God wants us to refuse the wrong. He shows us what's right. He shows us what's wrong, primarily through His Word and the Holy Spirit showing us what it means. Now, we cannot make this journey of faith in this life on our own without the light, without Jesus Christ. We are bound to surely fail. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Get that down, Christian. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Light is a symbol of holiness. We can do it only through Christ in us as we get saved. I said to a young man yesterday, don't try to turn over a bunch of new leaves and come to the place where you think God is going to accept you. Just accept Him right now. And the light will come in, and that'll change your whole life. And that's what every person needs. Then this fellowship that he talks about here. This is the message we declare unto you. And I declare to you today, Jesus is a light. You've got to have Him. In order to be saved, go to heaven, and live the Christian life, you've got to walk in the light. You'll never do it without knowing Christ as your Savior. And then there's that issue of the fellowship we have with Him. Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, a definition of fellowship is getting along with Him, walking in His way, being in His will. Somebody said it's two fellows in the same boat, in the same ship. Well, that's sort of a remote analogy, but the whole idea is that we're getting along. We're walking in the will of God. We're walking in fellowship with Him. And so he says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We're telling a lie. If we say we're saved and we're having fellowship with God, and yet we're walking in sin and darkness, we're lying about it. We are not having fellowship with Him. Relationship has to do with our condition. Relationship has to do with our condition. We are at enmity with God until we get saved. You know why? Because of our sinfulness. You are a sinner. Everybody is a sinner. We sin because we are sinful. We don't become sinners when we first sin. We are sinners. That's why we sin. And so that's why we need a Redeemer. And it is our sinfulness that puts us in the condition we're in so that we need a Redeemer. Who are we until we get saved? The Bible says we are children of the devil. If you're not saved today, my friend, you are children of the devil by birth. Did you know that? You say, I don't want to hear that. You're talking down to us. I'm just telling you, in love and kindness, what the Bible says, if you're not saved, you are a child of the devil. Plain and simple. You're not in the family of God, so there's only one other family left. What family is that? The family of the devil. That's who you belong to today if you haven't been saved. But what happens when you get saved? That relationship changes. Boy, when you get saved, you're no longer a child of the devil. Thank God you're a child of God's. And all it takes is that decision in your life, a true decision, a real decision, where you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now that takes care of the relationship. But then there's the matter of fellowship. Fellowship is where we have problems. Relationship has to do with condition. Sinner, lost, need to be saved. Fellowship has to do with the conduct or how we live. And I defined fellowship for you earlier. It's walking with God. It's first trusting in the Lord, then walking in the light, walking in truth, walking together. Amos said in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together in fellowship, in other words, unless they be agreed? You're not going to have a good relationship in your marriage or any other relationship you have in life unless you're walking in agreement. And we must agree with what God says in order to walk in fellowship with the Lord. It's all part of it. It's important. And that's what he's talking about in verses 6 and 7. Look at verse 7 again. But if we walk in the light, if we walk in darkness, we're lying about it. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, that is you with Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all, look, S-I-N, sin, all sin. Cleanses us from all sin, makes us able to walk in the light, in fellowship, and to not practice sins in our life. Go to Romans just a second, if you would, turn in your Bible. And turn to chapter 4, Romans chapter 4. And I want to show you something in just a few verses here. Romans chapter 4, and we're talking about fellowship with the Father. We're talking about our conduct after we get saved. Romans 4, beginning with verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Abraham represents the Old Testament, the law. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Some things Abraham did by the law, and some good things, he had whereof to glory about those, but not before God. God's the holy, perfect, righteous one. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He was justified how? By faith. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you can earn your salvation, friend, God owes it to you, and it's reckoned of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth, that's a fancy word for saying places to your account, righteousness, watch it, without works. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, S-I-N. Thank God when you get saved, God no longer imputes sin to your account. He imputes righteousness. You're declared holy and saved and righteous before God. In the Old Testament, they had a sin offering. And that sin offering was brought for sin, which represented the condition of the people. But they also had another offering, which was called a trespass offering. I wish we had time to go into the offerings, but we do not. But a trespass offering, and this was for not S-I-N, but for S-I-N-S, sins. In other words, their conduct and their action. That was one offering to settle the sin question. There was another offering that they had to bring when they had failed God after they had been justified because of sins in their life. Christ never sinned, did he? He never did. He never, ever sinned. That's why he could go on to heaven on his own merit. He really could have, because he never sinned. He had earned it. We cannot do that. But instead, he died for us. We'll never get there on our own merit. But Jesus, who did not sin, died for us, paid the price. And he imparted righteousness to us. Now, turn to Hebrews, if you will, very quickly. Hebrews chapter 9, if you can find it. If not, if you don't find it quickly, then just follow what I'm reading here in Hebrews chapter 9. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ and about our high priest. In Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer and sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, the Old Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while a testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And then he says this beautiful verse, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Jesus never sinned. He took our place. He died and paid our debt and imparted righteousness to us. Now he talks about here the tabernacle. This tabernacle he's talking about is not a picture of the earthly tabernacle, but the heavenly tabernacle. It's the one that is up there. It is a picture of the heavenly. And the sacrifices of the Old Testament were just shadows. The lambs that were killed were just shadows of the real lamb that was going to come. And so Christ, the Lamb of God, died, and he's entered into heaven for us right now, and he's placed the blood on the mercy seat, and we're justified by the blood of the Lamb. Here's the question: how can I have fellowship with a holy God? I'm a sinner. How in the world can I ever have fellowship with a holy God? Here's the answer: Christ saved me. Christ's blood cleansed me from all sins and all sin. And so I enter in heaven on the merit of Jesus, not on my merit. I would never get there on my merit. God made a way for fellowship. How? Through Jesus Christ. Nobody will ever have any fellowship with him except through Jesus Christ. You know what is sad? The sad thing is that very few of us take real advantage of fellowship with Jesus Christ. Very few really take all of the advantage that God has for us to fellowship with the Father. You know, I'm glad I can go anywhere in the world and fellowship with the Father. I made that trip to India. Boy, I could kneel down by my little bed early in the morning in that very simple little motel-type room with not a lot of the luxuries that we have here, and get down on my knees and call on God, and guess what? I could fellowship with God in India. I've been in the Philippines and some places sort of like that, get down on my knees, call on God, pray, read my Bible, fellowship with God in India and the Philippines and Egypt and Israel, in France, wherever. God's everywhere, and I can have fellowship with him, and I need to have fellowship with God, and we need to have fellowship with him every day of our lives. Now, look at this third thing. We'll very hurriedly go through this. The cleansing that we receive from him. Verses 7 through 8, going back to 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Let's go back and reiterate the important verse, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." That's you and Jesus Christ. "And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin," if we say we have no sin, "we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." I meet people often. They just don't think they're sinners. I met some yesterday. They just don't think they're sinners. "Are you going to heaven?" "Yes." "Well, how do you know you're going to heaven?" "Well, I try to be good all the time. I try to be good." And you try to convince them they're sinners, and it's a little difficult. But he's talking about the sinful condition. If you say you have no sin, you're lying and the truth is not in you. Who said that? God said that. If you say you have no sin, you're lying and the truth is not in you. That is a sign that you have not been convicted by the Holy Spirit to the point that you understand that you're lost and you need a redeemer. Not convicted. In other words, self-deceived. people who say, I'm not a sinner. I have no sin. I don't need a Savior. I don't need redeeming. But my friend, every person on the face of the earth must be born again in order to go to heaven. You see, it's not a lack of information that people have. It's a lack of the truth. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of pseudo-false religious information out there. If you do this, you can go to heaven. If you're baptized in baptismal regeneration, you can go to heaven. If you do good works and your works outweigh your good to bad, you can go to heaven. If you join our church, you can go to heaven. If you're part of this denomination or this church or this movement or whatever, then you can go to heaven. Or if you're part of another religion, it won't be the same heaven, but you can die and you can be a martyr and you can wake up with 100 virgins that are there waiting you in some place called heaven to them. That is misinformation. That's a lie. That's wrong. That's not the truth. But it is a lack of truth that people need. They need the truth. And he said, I'm going to speak the truth to you. I'm going to speak the truth. And the Bible says we ought to speak the truth in love. Listen, we should tell people how to get saved. We should tell them they're sinners and they need a Savior. That's the truth. And we should tell them there's only one way. And we should be busy all the time telling people the truth. Amen? We don't do it, but we should be doing it. We do it some, but we need to do it all the time. Tell them the truth. Think about it. If they don't get the truth and they die, they will wind up at the great white throne judgment. Not the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment, to determine the degree of their punishment in hell and to face Almighty God. And can you just hear them saying, if they could see us in the distance, why didn't you tell me? We talked about everything under the sun. We talked about the Cowboys and the ball games and the Mavericks, and we talked about politics, and we talked about the government, and we talked about we talked about just everything that came to our minds. We talked about religion, talked about the church, and talked about the hypocrites. We talked about everything. But you never told me the truth about Jesus. You never told me. Does that mean they'll all get saved? No. Does it mean we should tell them anyway? Yes. But here's the thing. Some of them will get saved. Tell them the truth. Why not tell the truth? They will die and spend eternity in a lake of fire and wonder, why didn't you bring me the truth? Just tell me the truth. The truth is, you're a sinner. You need a Savior. Jesus died for you. If you'll trust Him as your Savior, you can go to heaven. If you really turn from your sins and turn to Him, He will save your soul. We have neighbors like that. We have family members like that. We have friends like that. We have people we work with like that. They just need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they need to confess their sin. But Christians also need to confess our sin. If we're going to have fellowship with the Father, we'll not do it with sin in our lives. You can't do it. You cannot walk together with God and have sin in your life. A practice known sin. If you do sin, you get on your face, you confess it, and have the fellowship restored. But you don't keep living in sin, just practicing and holding on to it and hanging on to it and not let go of it. Pornography. Some of you guys in this building, I guarantee you, you have a sin of watching junk that is pornographic. You know it. It's a sin, and you will not let go of it. Let me tell you something. You're never going to have fellowship with God until you get rid of that. You're not going to do it. You've got to deal with it and forsake that sin in your life. It may be some other thing. I could go through a whole litany of things. If you're angry at somebody and you cannot stand them and you hate them for what they've done to you in the past, friend, you must turn that over to God and let God take care of it. We expect Him to forgive us. We ought to forgive other folks. But some of you in this building are so bitter and so angry at somebody for something they did for you, a former boss, somebody you were married to one time, or some situation that you got into with a relative, or whatever it may be. You can't walk in fellowship with God if you have known, practiced sin in your life. It may be pride. It may be some other sex sin. It may be something else in your life. But I'm telling you, if we say we have no sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. We'll talk later about what we have to do with that. But basically, the thing that has to be done is to admit it when it's there and rush to Jesus Christ and have the fellowship restored. The condition, you are saved, but the fellowship is broken. And you'll be miserable and unhappy, and things will not work out for you, and you will not have the blessings of God on your life. You'll never have the joy of the Lord until you get that matter of fellowship right. And if we say we are walking in fellowship with Him and we are living in sin, we are walking in darkness, not in the light. That's what He says right here in the Word of God. So the Christian must confess sin. Thank God it's been paid for. And Jesus won't have to come back and pay for it again. But we do have to confess it and get it under the blood. Here's what He's saying. God is light. And God provides a way for us to walk in the light through Jesus Christ. And I ask you today, have you taken that provision? Have you received Christ as your Savior? If not, today's the day to let the light come in. Walk in the light. You cannot do it until He lives in you. He is the light that lighteth the world, the light that lighteth every person, so that they are without excuse. Receive Him into your heart. He enables you to walk with Him, and He provides a way. Now let me ask you, as a Christian, are you walking in the light? Are you sensitive to sin? If not, you're not walking in the light. It may be a sin of commission. It could very well be a sin of omission, something you're leaving out of your life that you know God wants you to have in your life. My dear friend, the way to have that fellowship restored is to ask God to forgive you and bring it to Him. Fellowship is so important in our relationship to our Father. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. Have you accepted the light? Have you received Christ as your Savior? The answer is yes. Thank God. If it's no, come and receive Him now. Are you, now that you are saved, are you walking? Listen carefully. Are you walking in the light? Are you walking in the truth of the Word of God and God's will? He's the light. He lights the way, and His way is right. Are you walking in God's will? May God help you to come today as we pray and then have our invitation. Father, there are people here lost. I pray they'd be saved. There are people here who are not walking in fellowship, and I pray they would today have that sweet fellowship restored. Help those who do not have the light to be saved, that they may be able and equipped to be able to walk in the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.